Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to be back with you on this fifth Sunday. It seems like I was just here for the first Sunday last Sunday, and we're almost finished with this month. But the Lord has been so good. I'm just thinking about where we're going today, but I want to preface with the question today. How much do you love Jesus? Yeah, how much do you love Jesus as we have been walking through the life of a believer? This is going to be our final sermon in the series, and I have been blessed just growing in the Lord, and I believe and pray that you have been growing also. Just want to thank you tremendously for just connecting to ebcnc.com. So many things are going on, as you know. Our Bible reading program, those that are reading with us, it is a blessed journey. It has been a blessed journey, and we've got so much more as we grow together as the body of Christ. Also, on that ebcnc.com, so many things going on during the week. We've got Monday Manna. Hopefully you got last week's that we were doing melodies, Monday melodies. And so we just kind of picked out some songs at Ebenezer that hadn't been broadcast that just blessed our hearts. Also on Tuesday, we have Noonday Bible Study where we're going through the book of Genesis. I've talked so much about these Bible studies. I was actually in a restaurant the other day, and one of the waitresses there was like, "Are y'all still in the book of Genesis?" I'm telling you, people are connecting and being blessed just by the Word of God. And then on Wednesdays, we're going through the book of Luke, where we're in the teachings of Christ and comparing to our lives how we can grow more in Him. On Thursdays, we have our in-person Bible studies at 6 o'clock. That's 6 o'clock right in the sanctuary, where we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul's letter to those at Corinth. And then continue to pray for our 8:45 in-person services. Of course, our 10 o'clock online and our 10:45 in-person services. I want you to please pray for this afternoon. We are actually having some graduation ceremonies for our graduates at Ebenezer. Yay! You can put amen, hallelujah, thank God in the chat wherever you're at. I have been blessed to be there a generation, in a sense, when you look at it as pastor of Ebenezer and see so many grow up. And so it is a blessed day to see them cross over that threshold and to matriculate to another level. So that's at 2 o'clock. If you can put that on your schedule, if you can't be there, please pray as we celebrate the wonders of the Lord. I want to thank you so much for your giving. God loves a cheerful giver. So let each one purpose in his heart that we can give not grudgingly or necessity, but out of a cheerful heart. And you have shown that. We're able to support our graduates. We're able to support those who are going through in their lives. We're able to send mission funds overseas and even locally right there in Central Park on third Sundays. We are giving out food and giving out clothing and giving out hope, encouragement through Jesus. Well, I'm looking forward to getting into this message today. Remember that question I put out. How much do you love Jesus? We're going to find out as we look at the life of the believer. We'll see you soon.
I'm going to be reading here from Hebrews, the first chapter, a few verses here. So if you follow along with me, I'm going to start with Hebrews 1. God, who in various times and various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, and had in these last days spoken to us by his Son, who he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world, who being in the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majestic on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has inherited, as by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For which of the angels did he ever say, sit by my, you are my son. Today I begotten you. And again, I will be him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And when he brings the firstborn into the world, let all the angels worship him. And of the angels he said, who make his angels spirits and ministers of flame. But to the Son he said, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom.
I am weak and I need thy strength and power to help me o'er my weakest hour. Let me through the darkness thy face to see. Lead me, O Lord, lead me. Lead me, guide me along. I cannot stray, Lord.
lead me, guide me along the way. I just praise the Lord for that song. That reminds me, even as we progress to the first Sunday in May, 123 years, Ebenezer being led of the Lord and souls being saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. Be in prayer. We have some ministers that are coming in. We've got Pastor Steve Allen of the Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church coming to do our 8:45 in-person service. And then online, one of our ministerial friends, Pastor Tim Fitzgerald. He is the pastor of Goshen and Union Memorial. And we're just, I'm just blessed to know them. And then we have his dad that is coming at our 10:45 in-person service, Pastor Larry Fitzgerald, that has just made a powerful impact amongst the United Methodist Church. And we're just so grateful to have those ministers to speak into our lives on our 123rd anniversary. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll put it in the chat. Amen. Amen. God has been so, so good to Ebenezer. As we're getting into this final portion of this series, The Life of the Believer, and answering that question, what we should look like while living as a Christian, we've striven to do that. If you didn't get all the series, I encourage you to go back. It's in a nice little packet on our app and also on our webpage. When you go into, you can see all of those sermons that Lord just laid on my heart to grow in Him. And I use that a lot because I believe that is the primary goal, to grow and become, to be more like Christ. So let's go to that memory scripture that we have been focusing on each Sunday, that 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and starting at that second verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in that second verse, prayerfully, you have it in your mind and it's seeping down into your heart. Let's read it together out loud. You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And a powerful, powerful scripture. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this wonderful day that you've made. Thank you for this virtual connection that we can touch one another, even though we're not in the physically in the same place. Lord, you are amazing. Lord, your desire is for more souls to be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. And I pray that if there's someone that's listening, viewing in right now that doesn't know you, that today be their day. Lord, that you will grab their heart and they will confess with their mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. I thank you so much for that marvelous grace that you've given us. Now, Lord, I ask you to make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Holy Spirit, we sense your presence. Thank you for being the wonderful teacher that you are. We just give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's go to Revelations today. Yes. Revelation, that awesome eschatological book, Revelation chapter 2. And I want us to focus in on that fourth verse, Revelation chapter 2 and 4. It reads, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." Wow, isn't that a heavy thought as we've been talking about the life of the believer and what we're supposed to look like? Listen to that verse again, that fourth verse. "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." I want to speak from a title today, Keep the Fire Burning. Keep the Fire Burning. This is critical today as we even think about the title, Keep the Fire Burning. I am blessed to be around a lot of couples that have many years of marriage. One couple that's in mind is the Hamptons, Curtis and Jeanette Hampton. We see them on Monday nights often giving marriage teachings. I think it's like they've been together 51 years of blissful marriage. And I've learned by listening to them and being able to speak into other couples' lives that you have to fight for a good marriage, a good relationship. You got to fight to keep that fire, that flame going, and that relationship can be vibrant. And it's the same way as we're interacting with the Lord. We can never take for granted how good He is, and we can never take for granted His passionate love for us. And as He loves us, He wants us to love Him back. Notice as we get into the portion of Scripture today, time frame is about 95 or 96 AD. This book is attributed to the Apostle John. He has gone through so much according to the theologians of that time. It's believed and has been passed down that John, he is the remaining apostle. All the others have been killed, and they tried to kill John. They tried to boil him in a pot, it's been told and passed down, but he just wouldn't boil. It wasn't his time to go. And so what they did, they exiled him to this volcanic rock, and this island of Patmos. And there, as he's in this lonely place, it's kind of like a prison for people who have done terrible things. And the only terrible thing he did, according to them, was to believe in the good news of Jesus Christ and to preach it passionately. And God meets him on that island and gives him a revelation of the things to come, and also a word to speak to the seven churches, those lampstands. Those seven churches, seven that completion, the letter would be sent out and to go into the circuit, and they would be given that letter to read aloud within their congregation so that they could be encouraged to grow in the Lord, but also rebuked on some things that they were doing wrong. Today, I want to just preface this portion of Scripture with another Scripture from the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 4:17, just to help us as we're thinking about keep the fire burning in our hearts. It says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God." Can you just say house of God? Put it in the chat, house of God. "And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" That 18th verse. "Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Can I focus on that 18th verse again? "Now, if the righteous one is scarcely," can you type that real quick? Somebody out there, "scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear?" Keep the fire burning. Let's transition that Revelation chapter 2:1. "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands." Here's our first point. I love this point. He has the whole world in his hands. Yes, he has the whole world in his hands. Some of you remember that song as a child, and we would sing that song over and over again. He's got the little bitty babies in his hands, and we would go through the color spectrums and just continue going around. It is so true. He has the whole world in his hands. As we look at this particular scripture, it says those seven stars that he holds up in his right hands. As believers, we must always remember that God is in charge, even when things seem to be going crazy. Any hallelujahs out there? Even when things seem to be deteriorating, as we look at the United States of America and we look at across the seas and other places, it seems like things are deteriorating. It seems like the hardness of man's heart is growing more and more. The scriptures here, as we examine that scripture a little bit more, is written to the angel of the church of Ephesus. The angel of the church of Ephesus, that's equated, meaning the theologians hold, to the pastor, the leader of that particular church. God speaks to that leadership simply oftentimes when there are problems in the congregation, when there are problems amongst the saints, it generally goes from the top and matriculates or disperses within the body. And simply because the enemy knows if he can attack the leadership, if he can get confusion in the leadership, that confusion or cloud will overcome the saints. And so we must be very careful to make sure we stay focused on the Lord and keep the fire burning. Ephesus was the main center of the Grecian culture. There was a lot of idolatry going on. You may have heard of Artemis or Diana. They had this huge temple. It was a business hub. This made a lot of money. They would sell their little idols. And so many were blinded by the enemy. They were blinded by getting caught up into things that were not of God. But yet, in the midst of this heathen society, God raises up a church. He raises up his body. He saves souls and brings them to the knowledge of the truth to be an example of his glory right there in the midst of darkness. If I could just take a little sidestep here, I believe God is doing the same thing in this season and time that we live in, that he's raising us up. He's kept us here that we can manifest and show people that God is real and truly live a life of the believer, that people can know that God is still in the saving business. How are you standing in this time of devilish infiltration within your life? How are you portraying Christ within your body as you walk from day to day? If we believe that God has the whole world in his hands, we must embrace the scriptures of God. 1 Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." There's so many scriptures. I just want to bring some out. We've got to embrace that fact. He has the whole world in his hand. So I've got to be strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6:11, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Do you see him? That's why we've got to keep the fire burning. Ephesians 6:12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." But this is the critical part, but against principality, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Those that in that time of Revelation, that church of Ephesus, they were going through the same thing. It wasn't necessarily flesh and blood. It was the enemy that was coming forth with his demonic powers. And even in this season that we live in, are you sensing that? The spirit of the Antichrist is here. Ephesians 6:13. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God," and this is critical, listen to me, "that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Can you put in the chat, "stand"? This is a critical point as we're keeping the fire burning in the life of the believer as we love the Lord. Let me show you a little bit more in Revelation 2:2. "I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary." Here's the point. It's a longer one, but it really kind of sums up these scriptures. Patience, the truth, laboring for Jesus. Yes, patience, the truth, and laboring for Jesus. These are the primary traits of the believer. Yes, this is really when you encompass our life and living for Christ, patience, the truth, and laboring for Jesus. Notice Revelation 2:2 again, "I know your works." Yes, the Lord speaks through this apostle John to the church. He says, "Your labor and your patience." God knows what you're going through. God knows what you're doing for him, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. Those who are saved, as you get closer to the Lord, there comes a Holy Ghost desire to not live in evil. And we do. We detest those things that are not of God, even within ourselves. "And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. That's what the enemy does. He comes in. He is a liar. He is a deceiver. He's been a liar from the beginning. And we see more of that in our society. And this is in this the society of the Church of Ephesus. The same thing is occurring. And it's all centered around this goddess Dana, this Artemis, this temple. And it was seeping into the minds of even the believers. But they had to fight and keep the fire burning in their love for the Lord. Notice in that Revelation 2:3, and you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Saints, we have to continue to push. We can't become weary in well doing. The scriptures talk about the church of Ephesus, to celebrate them. They actually had stood against this idolatry, stood against this attack of the enemy for 40 years. Yes, they were strong in loving the Lord, and they had raised up the standard. But all of us know when the enemy keeps hitting you, keeps punching you, you can get weak. So what do we do? What do we do? What happens sometimes? Revelation 2:4, keep the fire burning. He says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Here's the point. The thrill is gone. Yes, the thrill is gone. Now, I must tell you, some of you that are around my age and grew up with some songs, and this is one of those titles, The Thrill of Gone. It was actually written by the West Coast blues musician Roy Hawkins and Rick Darnell in 1951. And he's like, 1951, but I remember someone else. Yes, it was made popular in the 70s by B.B. King. And in that, it really encompasses, he's talking about love, relationship gone bad, but I think we could use it as an example of how our love can grow cold towards even the Lord. His love is still vibrant. Let me show you these stanzas. It says, the thrill is gone. The thrill is gone away. The thrill is gone, baby. The thrill is gone away. You know you done me wrong, baby, and you'll be sorry someday. Please understand, the Lord didn't do us wrong. We did him wrong. Yes, our thrill is gone towards him simply not because he's gone astray, not because he stopped loving us, not because he hasn't shown us passion. It is our sinful nature. It is us not keeping that fire burning. And in the life of the believer, we've got to make sure that we stay focused and our thrill for the Lord doesn't wane within our lives. They were still in sound doctrine. They were active in service. They were still doing so much for the Lord, but they were missing out on that integral part of worship and intimacy with the Lord. Brother Noel Kroll actually writes this saying, and it really encompasses the challenges of the time. He says, the church may have great zeal and activity, soundness of doctrine and practice, yet have its first love for Christ on the decline. It is subtle. Love looks for love and meticulous care with doctrine and discipline with not take its place. The loss of first love can be so easily followed by the evils in doctrine and practice. Christ will have all the believer's love or none. Yes, keep the fire burning. The Lord wants all of us. Can you put in the chat all of us? Wherever you're sitting and standing, say all of us. He is not satisfied with pieces and parts. He wants all of us. We find in the scriptures that he is a jealous God, and he wants us to grow in him, to be united with him. I just want to ask you some questions. I want you to think about this, particularly in your life. Have you left your first love? Yes, those who are saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, have you left your first love? How is your private prayer time? That is really a litmus test, a foundational point to finding out if we're still truly in love the way we used to be with the Lord. How is your worship time? Do you need a big band to get you excited, to get into the presence of the Lord? Or can you enter in when you're all by yourself in your secret closet? How is that worship? How is your discipline, such as fasting? Yes, focusing on the Lord in disciplining your flesh and your life that you can get closer to him. Do you get excited when things of God are lifted up? Or have you come to the one point of becoming a zombie in your devotions? I want to give that question again to you. Do you get excited when the things of God are lifted or up? Or have you become a zombie in your devotions? So many have really come to the point of just not being excited about the Lord anymore. We can go to a basketball game, a football game, a soccer game, a lacrosse game, and we get excited, plumb excited. But please understand, when we think about the goodness of Jesus, shouldn't there be some excitement, some thrill? I'm talking about, we've got to keep the fire burning. Look at Revelations 2 and 5. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Here's the point. Repentance. Yes, repentance. God gives us a prescription in fixing that lost love. Yes, when we haven't kept the fire burning, he tells us we got to repent. We've got to realize that we've made a mistake. We've got to realize that we've got issues. To repent in the Greek actually means I change my mind. I change the inner man in relationship to God's will. I want to read that again to you. I change my mind. I change the inner man in relationship to God's will. As believer, this is our walk. This is one of daily repentance. We understand 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We embrace the fact that we must repent. The Spirit speaks in Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, here it is, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yes, this is serious as we're keeping the fire burning. We got to work that out. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. This is the Apostle John. He's speaking to those that in this Ephesus region, and he's telling them, hey, as the Spirit is speaking and God is speaking directly, hey, you've lost your first love. What do you need to do? You got to repent, and I'll bring you back in. I'll embrace you. I'm here with my arms wide open to you. Paul recognized this fight when he wrote in 1 Corinthians 9:26, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight. Can you put in the chat, say fight? Yes, fight. Whatever you're sitting and saying, say fight. Not as one who beats the air, 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. We've got to keep that fire burning. Andre Crouch, he sang a song that was actually written by Elton John and Gary Osborne. As believers, sometimes we can feel like this. I feel that I'm so far from you, Lord, but I still hear you calling me. Those simple things that I once knew, their memories keep drawing me. I must confess, Lord, I've been blessed, but yet my soul's not satisfied. Renew my faith, restore my joy, and dry my weeping eyes. I've tried so hard to make it all alone. I need your help just to make it home. Take me back. Yes, any amens out there? Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. Yes, we've got to keep that fire burning. We've got to push into the presence of the Lord. It's interesting as we look at this section and contextually bring it together that this church at Ephesus had become a city that in this present time has now has Islam has taken over. Yes, that church had put up the standard against Adana Artemis. That temple over the years is built up, and now the Islam religion has come in. It lets us know when we lose our love, the enemy will step in. When we lose our love for the Lord, all kinds of craziness occurs. Look at this, Revelations 2:6. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Here's the punt. the point. Upholding God's standard. Yes, upholding God's standard. Keep the fire burning. The word Nicolaitans, it actually means to conquer the people. Yes, to conquer the people. Now, I want to just give you some background on this as we focus in on this point here, upholding God's standard. The Irenaeus, a second century church father, he actually writes of what's going on within this center of the church that's going on all around it and infiltrating it. It says, Nicholas, who was made a deacon, was a false believer who later became apostate. But because of his credentials, he was able to lead the church astray. And like Balaam, that's that Old Testament prophet, you remember him, he led the people into immorality and wickedness. The Nicolaitans, followers of Nicholas, were involved in immorality and assaulted the church with sensual temptations. Yes, yes, some of the lights are coming on. I believe we're in that attack now. I believe that so many churches have been under attack when it comes to sensuality, things that are against God's will. Clement of Alexander, another church father, he really captures what the church had slipped into. He says they abandoned themselves to pleasure like goats, leading a life of self indulgence. These same sins, as said earlier, have slipped in. Pornography is at an all-time high, even within the house of the Lord. Adultery, fornication, deviant lifestyles. Never seen it like this, simply because when we lose our first love, when we don't keep the fire burning, the enemy will come in and want to court us. There ought to be some ouches in the house. We need to realize that as we stay close to the Lord, He raises a standard, and we can tell people that God is the way, He is the truth and the light. God put this on my heart. He said, in so many places, the word of God has become a book of suggestions. Yes, yes, hear that again. In so many places, the word of God has become a book of suggestions. No, this is the word of God. What God says goes. But as believers, we must uphold God's standards. Some may feel that in the scripture that the word hate is too strong. The Greek verb for hate is called mizio. It means to detest. Yes, mizio means to detest. This thought is seen also in the Old Testament. God hates. Proverbs 6:16, it says, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven, are an abomination to him. Proverbs 6:17, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. We got to keep the fire burning, and we've got to uphold the standards of God. Let me wrap this together for you in Revelation 2:7. He who has an ear, let him hear. Can you put in the chat, hear what the Spirit says to the churches? To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Final point, we overcome. Yes, we overcome. This is good news. As we embrace this, we can actually go back to another writing that John put forth in 1 John 4:4. It says, you are God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Isn't that good news? That is good news. We're keeping the fire burning. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We've got to keep the fire burning. John is encouraging them as the Holy Spirit is using him as a voice piece. He's saying, saints, there is victory in being overcomers. There is victory in Jesus. There is victory in falling in love with the Lord and embracing him over and over again. The age of Paul the Apostle,
apostle, he writes about this love relationship in 2 Timothy 4:6. He says, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight." Any hallelujahs out there? "I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." I'm talking about keep the fire burning. "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, with the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Yes, when we think about it, this whole keeping the fire burning is all connected to Jesus Christ. Yes, the one who came from heaven to earth, walked among men, healing the sick, raising the dead, teaching like none others, multiplying food for thousands. The same Jesus, please understand, did not stop there, but he goes to the cross of Calvary and he becomes our propitiation. He becomes our sacrifice. He carries our sins because he knew at times that our love would wane for him. He realized that there would be some times that the fire wouldn't be kept burning. So he paid the price for us. The passion of the Christ took place on that cross of Calvary where he died for us and he was put in a cold grave. But please understand, there ought to be some shouts of praise. He gets up on the third day with all power and all glory, and he manifests himself to the disciples, showing that passionate love. There's one time in when he had gotten up, and many they thought he wouldn't get up, and some of the disciples and the ladies had got there, he was gone. They didn't know where he was at. And while some of the disciples were walking down the Emmaus road going back home, Jesus shows up incognito. Yes, he shows up. They don't even know it's Christ, and they're despondent. They're sad about what's happened. And then Jesus begins to unfold the scriptures to them. As they get to the house, he begins to sit down, and there he begins to break bread, and the big reveal takes place. I'm talking about keep the fire burning. But when they heard the word of God, when they heard Jesus speak the truth of the gospel, Luke 24:32, and they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" Saints, the life of the believer is one that gets in the Word of God. The life of the believer is one where we love the Lord by worshiping him and praising him, and we fast and we seek his face. The life of the believer is one that's on display. Yes, we are not perfect, but we know one who is. And we want to tell people the good news about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's gotten up. He's now ascended to the right hand of the Father. He is praying for us. That is good news. He wants us to keep the fire burning. But please understand, I believe it's getting closer. Yes, he's close to coming back for a church, the scriptures talk about, without a spot or wrinkle, only because of what he's doing on the inside of us. He's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you don't know him, I want you today to cry out to him. Realize you're a sinner and you need his grace. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead and said you will be saved. And I'm telling you, a passion will grow. A love will grow in you. That thrill will grow strong in you for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do I know? Because it's in me. But we got to fight to keep that fire burning. You got to stay in the Word. And I found out, I'm standing with the old saints. They said, every day gets sweeter and sweeter than the day before. If you've accepted the day, man, I want you to know that this journey is a blessed journey. It can be tough, but it's a blessed journey because he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. To the saints, to the believers, we've got to step up. I want you to check yourself. Ask yourself, is the fire burning for him? Am I in love head over heels with the Lord? And if you say yes, then that means there's some things that you're doing. Yes, that light is shining through you, the light of Jesus Christ, and you're telling people about Jesus, what he's doing in you, and what he can do in them.
I'm telling you, our God is faithful. Let's keep the fire burning. Would you pray with me? Father, you are so, so good. We love you. You are amazing. Lord, please forgive us of our sins. There have been times that we haven't kept that fire burning. Lord, there's been some times that we've gone astray, but we repent. Lord, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Use us for your glory. Lord, we thank you for the transformation process that's taking place in us. Lord, Holy Spirit, please forgive us. Lord, there have been many times that we grieved you, but we want to be better. Lord, order our steps in you. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ain't God a good God? Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Ain't God a good God? Ain't the Lord a good God? Yeah. Been so. Come on, church. Come on. Ain't God a good God? Y'all don't believe that. Ain't the God a good God? Ain't the Lord a good God? You know he's. Do you believe that? Won't the Lord bring you out? Won't the Lord bring you out? Won't the Lord bring you out? See, yeah, he's been. Yeah. Ain't God a good God? Ain't the Lord a good God? Ain't the Lord a good God? You know he's. Around. Won't the Lord bring you out? He'll do it. Won't the Lord bring you out? Won't the Lord bring you out? Yeah. You know he's. Listen. Woke me up early this morning. Did he wake you up? Woke you right up on time. Ain't the Lord a good God? Yeah. You know. Hey. Been good to me. Been good to me. I don't know about you. Tell you what I'm gonna do. Stand up on your feet. Give the Lord some praise. He's worthy to be praised. He's been good. He's been good. I don't know about you. Tell you what I'm gonna do. Stand up on your feet. Give the Lord some praise. He's been good to me. He's been good to me. Come on, put your hands together. He's been good to me. He's been good to me. I don't know about you. Tell you what I'm gonna do. Going on my knees. Say, Lord, help me, please. He's been good to me. 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 I can wave my hand, cause he's been good. I can wave my hand, cause he's been good. Ain't God a good God? Ain't the Lord a good God? Ain't the Lord a good God? Yeah. You know he's been.